Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, we focus the spotlight on Alcohol Awareness Month as our guests share expert advice and available resources to help make healthy choices.
Well, hello, Fort Novosel. This is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander for Lister Army Health Clinic and the host of the Lister Health Talks podcast, welcoming you to another episode. This month is Alcohol Awareness Month. I am just super pleased and honored to have our guest here with us on the show. One is a Lister team member, and one is, I would say, an adopted Lister team member, but certainly a partner of ours. First of all, I want to welcome Ms. Tracy Waters. She's the ASAP manager, and Mr. Walter Castle, the Sudsy clinical director. Welcome you both to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, let's dive right in. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, at least. But I think the first thing is, I'll start over here with Mr. Castle. First, tell me about the program. What does Sudsy even stand for? And tell me a little about what you do.
To begin with, Sudsy stands for the Substance Use Disorder Clinical Care. And there should be a P after that, probably program. But that's the acronym is Sudsy. And basically what we do is we provide clinical services for those that have a substance use disorder. Primary focus is to address the soldiers' needs as they come in and make sure that they're prepared for whatever mission that they're kind of scheduled to accomplish. Within our program, we do see soldiers themselves, active duty members. On top of that, we also see retirees, mm-hmm. and we also see dependents. So we have that capability at 18 and above. Basically, we provide services that include outpatient services where we have individual counseling. We have the ability to refer to outside sources, including intensive outpatient treatment and also to inpatient treatment if their acuity level is high enough. We also have the ability to refer somebody who maybe needs detox, because we know that, that alcohol is one of those few substances that is kind of dangerous when we look at a level of addiction that can be problematic, including seizures or strokes. So
sure.
Those are kind of the things that we focus on. We're part of the behavioral health side of Lister.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you can just come in, we can get you set up for whatever services. To begin with, typically it's going to be that assessment piece.
Yeah, that's great. No, I appreciate that. That's helpful. So you talked a little bit about it, but you know, let's say I want to kind of dig a little bit more into, you know, okay, so I now know that I'm an eligible, or maybe my family member is eligible to come see your services. What's my first step? How do I get to you? How do I access you? Is it a PCM referral, walk-in? What are we looking at?
Really, the easiest way is just to contact the behavioral health office. They can get you scheduled in for an appointment to see us. Don't need to go through your PCM. You can just come into behavioral health and you can walk in, or you can call and you can just ask to get an assessment for Sudsy, and it's that simple.
Oh, that's great. Just straight in. And we'll dig in a little bit more about good telltale signs of when to talk with you over at Sudsy, but I also want to transfer over really quickly and send it over to Ms. Tracy Waters, again, the program manager for the Army Substance Abuse Program. Tell me a little bit about your program, you know, who should see you, when should they come to see you, and everything.
Absolutely. So the Army Substance Abuse Program, the way we're set up, we're prevention and education. That's what we primarily focus on. So we have several programs where Alcohol Awareness Month is concerned. We're really wanting to focus on our prevention and education. So if a commander wanted to refer a soldier to the Army Substance Abuse Program, if the soldier had some type of an incident, alcohol incident, substance abuse incident, they'd refer them to Mr. Castle first, and they might eventually come to us after that assessment. But a commander could always request us directly if they wanted training and education for their unit, if they saw some type of a trend and they wanted to address it and be more proactive than reactive. They could simply call our office and get some support with the training education side of the house.
Yeah, that's helpful. And so that it can be commander referral, or it could be just somebody coming in. Maybe I'm a NCO of a squad here at Fort Novosel, and you're like, hey, I just want some training. They can reach out to you and be able to engage with you, right?
Absolutely. And we have some different mediums to use training. You know, we have the carts, we have the junk goggles. Those things try to make it a little more interactive, a little more fun, while we're also learning about substance abuse.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, that's good. So now I'm kind of listening to this. I'm new. Of course, everybody at the tip of their tongue, at least a lot of leaders, know about Sudsy and ASAP. But talk to me a little bit more, and Mr. Castle, I'll go over over to you. Kind of, you know, as we're digging into how do we collaborate between the two teams? Like, when do I refer over here, or is it vice versa? What how do you engage with ASAP in their space?
So for me, it's just that continued working relationship. Generally, if they come to see me and maybe they need that prevention course or the education course, it's as simple as me reaching back to Ms. Waters and her team and getting that soldier kind of set up for that process. It's always an act of communication between our two groups.
I want to start pivoting a little bit on the discussion about, you know, we've already talked about resources. And of course, if you're a listener right now, make sure to follow our Facebook. You'll be able to see a lot of the resources there and how to contact these two fantastic programs. But let's start talking about, hey, I'm listening right now and I don't know if I need to engage. And I'll start first talking over to Tracy Waters again. When is a good time to maybe engage your services?
Absolutely. So part of the training that we're getting ready to start to do monthly for our soldiers, we're going to focus on the phases of abuse because I think that's a good place to start. And we look typically at four different phases. The first phase is kind of that experimentation where the majority of us stay for our entire lives. The majority of us always stay in this phase. We might be social drinkers every now and again, but we really don't partake consistently. Then the second phase is more that regular use. You know, you might be going to an event and instead of going to the event to socialize, you're like going to the event to partake in whatever substance it is. You know, so you're starting to develop a little more of a pattern. And this is when some tolerance might start to build up as well. Mm-hmm. So the third phase is risky use or abuse. Mm-hmm. Again, that pattern starts to build. You start to have negative consequences, but you still continue use of your substance, even though you have negative consequences. You know, you might have been arrested. You might have family problems, things along those lines. And then the last phase is that addiction and dependency, which is the most dangerous one, as Mr. Castle mentioned a minute ago, when your body becomes physically addicted to that substance and that withdrawal can happen. Mm-hmm. So I think when you listen just quickly to those four phases to kind of, you know, just ask yourself, am I in one of these phases? You know, like I said, the majority of us, we stay in that experimentation phase. We really never progress any further. But there are some people listening today who might be in that phase where they feel like they're physically dependent. And even though they try to stop drinking or using whatever substance, their body tells them, I need it. And that's the time when you know you need to seek help from Mr. Castle.
Yeah, really, this stuff doesn't do us any good long term, right?
It really does not. And when you think about it, substance abuse is at the root of a ton of different harmful behaviors. You know, it can lead to all sorts of negative consequences in our lives in general. So we want to help our soldiers to retain their careers, retain their physical health, retain their solid families and be happy. So reaching out as soon as possible when you think you might be leaning towards an issue would be the preference.
Yeah, that's helpful. Mr. Castle, I'm going to move over to you. And when would be a good time? Again, we know how to reach you. When's the time that I need to come see you?
So when we start to look at addiction or an alcohol use disorder, one of the things that we know when we talk about a disease model of addiction is that there's a kind of a progression. And quite frankly, the earlier we get to that spot to work on and address that issue, the easier actually it is for them to address that issue. Once they've kind of moved down that path to level four, I think where Ms. Waters had talked about, that's going to be a real challenge. That's going to be really difficult. So the earlier you can kind of start to recognize that maybe I'm starting to see some patterns of my drinking and maybe I can go in and start to look at it and try to figure out what's kind of going on with this behavior that I always like to say, not every time I drink I get in trouble, but every time I get in trouble I've been drinking.
Oh, wow.
And so when we start to kind of see some of those patterns where I'm starting to have some consequences for my drinking, it's a lot easier to kind of take care of it on the front end than it is to wait till back end to get to that. You know, generally speaking, as we look kind of across the population, about 10% of the population consumes about 60% of all the beverage alcohol that's made.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And we know that generally 10% of the population, in addition to that, also is what we would call has an alcohol or substance use disorder. And that's kind of from the very beginning of time, that's been a pretty consistent number of the general population numbers when it comes to addiction. So if we can get to you before you get to that 10%, obviously that's preferable.
Right.
So, you know, the earlier you think you may have an issue, and again, looking at some of the historical stuff, maybe there's some background in your family that there's been some substance use disorders, that typically means you're a little more susceptible to maybe developing one yourself. We also look at trauma. About 95% 95 or 96% of the people that all have what I would call kind of that early complex trauma in childhood develop some sort of a substance use disorder. So again, just kind of laying all those things out and just trying to be honest with yourself and just, you know, can I stop this now before it gets too far down the track, I think is probably the direction we want to head.
Yeah, that's helpful. So let me ask the heavy T word. Mr. Castle, but I have a high tolerance. And in my, you know, a lot of our minds, sometimes that's my understanding, a little bit of a misnomer for ourselves and saying, hey, I can handle my beverages. What would you say for folks that say, hey, I have a high tolerance?
So when I think about tolerance, tolerance is, you know, what does it take me to get at that woo point, right? Mm-hmm. So as the body starts to adjust in our drinking career, what happens is it starts to kind of see that this behavior is becoming a little more dangerous. So it starts to kind of make some adjustments. And so what used to get me to that kind of sweet spot was maybe two drinks. And then all of a sudden I'm finding that I'm having to get four drinks to get to that sweet spot. So although my body's making that adjustment because it feels like me stumbling around is dangerous, it's trying to prevent some of that consequences from occurring. Mm-hmm. It's naturally kind of trying to respond and react to that. And that's where we start to develop tolerance. The challenge with tolerance is while I may feel like I can handle my liquor and I don't feel as impaired or intoxicated as I used to, feel like I can drink more and not have those effects, the reality is my fine motor skills are still being affected.
Yeah.
And so I don't really pay attention to those. I don't really understand those. And they're not something that typically we train, or it's not really a skill set that we develop. It is what it is, so to speak. So if I'm feeling like I'm not impaired and I'm still getting behind the wheel of a car, my fine motor skills, my judgment, my ability to make those quick decisions are impaired and affected. So we want to make sure that even though I maybe feel like I can handle my liquor, you know, that's one of those signs that I look for as a professional. Is there a tolerance building? Because that's telling me that the body is seeing my behavior is being dangerous when I drink this much alcohol, and it's trying to make some adjustments.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That, you know, I think about, you know, sometimes we use tolerance in the sense of, let's say we're running. Oh yeah, I run a lot, so I've got a good tolerance for longer distance. But in terms of substance use and abuse, it's not the same.
And just to add on to that real quick and kind of touch on something that Tracy had said, when we talk about alcohol, if you think back to your high school chemistry class, right? A solvent. What's a solvent? Well, a solvent is something that breaks something down. Mm. And that's absolutely what alcohol is. So even a short-term effect of alcohol, it's a solvent. It's breaking stuff down. It's breaking my body down. Mm. And so as even one or two drinks, I'm putting something into my system that actually is designed to kind of break it down. So there's really not a great level of, you know, people will talk about a glass of wine or whatnot. Really, if you look at it, there's really nothing inherently healthy about drinking any alcohol.
Sure, sure. You've dusted off my high school chemistry with solvent. I'm like, oh yeah, I do. I remember that term. Ms. Waters, I'm going to pass over to you real quick. And, you know, we're starting to close in on our time a little bit, but I do want to ask you about barriers that someone might have to coming in, be it mental, guilt, you know, what have you. What kind of barriers do you see folks that they maybe need to be kind of red flags that they need to watch out for?
Well, the primary barrier, of course, is going to be we're home of aviation. You know, no one wants to be downslipped. No one wants to come off the flight. But at the end of the day, I would tell an individual to be more concerned about your physical health, your emotional health, so you can get back to the mission. You know, I think they really need to understand my program nor Mr. Castle's program. We're not trying to keep anybody from the mission. We're trying to make sure they get better so they can perform the mission, get them back, you know, up in the sky, up in their aircraft of choice, you know, or back on the front lines, whatever their job might be. So I think the important part to remember is that we are concerned about you as a whole, you as a person, mm-hmm. you know, outside of that uniform. We're concerned about you as a person and your family. And I think that's one of the biggest barriers here is the nature of what we do, at that fear of it affecting their careers. But that's not the intention of these programs. The intention is to get you back to doing what you do best and what you love, and to your families.
Yeah, that's great. And that certainly transcends just not only the aviation, but really just all of life. And
absolutely.
That's the message I'm hearing. So it's great. Hey, we're wrapping up our time here today with both of you, but I do want to circle back around to see if there's anything else that you want to kind of send home with the team for whatever you feel like we need to hit. I'll start over here with Mr. Castle. You first, sir.
I think I would just leave you with to ask yourself, why do you drink? What's the purpose of it? And so a lot of people, it gets introduced as a coping strategy. Had a hard day, got the gerbil wheel spinning in my head, can't seem to slow it down. So I'm starting to use alcohol as a way to cope. And again, as we talked about that progression, what happens is I started as a quick coping strategy, and then it becomes kind of a primary coping strategy for me. And, you know, my question is, if we can figure out a better way to address that stuff, that stress at work or slowing the brain down, the social lubricant that, you know, I use it so I can feel like I can talk to other people. If we can figure out how to do that without drinking alcohol, you're better off for that. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that you probably are. So, you know, those are the things that's that slippery slope that once we start on, it's the old Chinese proverb that the man takes a drink, the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. So,
oh, wow.
You know, again, just figure out why it is that you drink and, you know, is that really what you want going on?
Yeah, thanks for that. Ms. Waters, final thoughts?
Absolutely. So for me, it's kind of like what Mr. Castle mentioned earlier, being honest with yourself, you know, just take a hard look at yourself. And if you're not honest with anyone else, be honest with yourself and say, you know what, this really has turned into a situation. This has turned into some negative consequences. It's affecting my job. It's affecting my spouse, my children. Be honest with yourself and understand that what's most important is to take care of your own health and seek the help that is here. There's so many programs that are out here to support us. Just be honest with yourself and take a hard look and see, what are the consequences I'm suffering? Am I willing to continue to put my values at risk? Because that's basically what happens when you prioritize your substance of choice over everything else in your life. So,
yeah, thank you for that. Well, I want to thank both of our guests again, Ms. Tracy Waters, the program manager for the Army Substance Abuse Program, and Mr. Walter Castle, the clinical director for the Substance Use Disorder Clinical Care, or SUDSE, better known as SUDSE. In all honesty, we want to thank you both for coming and spending a little bit of time with us. Hey, listen, for our listeners out there, or at least someone you know probably enjoys a beverage, right? And they may enjoy it to excess, or maybe you do too. We are here to help. We are here to help you get better, to be healthier for yourself, for your family, for your career. You know, the Army medicine says we conserve the fighting strength, and that harkens back to our history many, many years ago, starting back as far as World War I and obviously before. And we are here to do that. We are here to make sure that you get to fulfill your greatest potential in the United States military. And that might be because you are the service member, but that also might mean because you're the family member, and there's just so much opportunity within that space as well. So we are ready for you. We're ready to help you. Both us here at Lister, but also our good folks over at ASAP across the installation. And we just want to encourage you that, if nothing else, now is the time to at least sit down and be honest with yourself and ask those hard questions. Hey, this is Lieutenant Colonel Holt signing off, reminding you that your healthiest chapter is ahead and that the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. Catch our next episode as we lean in to discuss Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.